1, 2.
Welcome to Two for the Road, movies with Matt and Adam.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Adam. We are a weekly movie pairing podcast. Every week we'll pick a theme, recommend a movie to the other guy that he has not seen based on that theme, watch and discuss.
Yep.
And we have a bit of an age difference between us. I'm 40, Matt's 65. I guess I shouldn't put the ages because if someone's listening to this a year from now, it'll be different.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Next month it'll be different right. For both of us. Pretty much.
Yeah, a year from now, Matt's 30. Anyway. So this week is a little bit different. Last week, you recommended me a couple of 70s movies, and this week I'm recommended to you a couple of 90s movies.
Correct.
And I tried to pick movies that were, like, generationally representative of, like, the decade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, and then something you hadn't seen, like, because, you know, I put Pulp Fiction there, but you've seen that, so.
Yeah.
And I think I try to balance, like, one pretty dark and one very light.
You are correct.
So... And one I think that you would like, and one that I think maybe you would not appreciate so much.
You are correct.
So the movies I had you watch, but you know, you had to have to watch it, right?
It's I did.
It's like
let's see what it was about, what they were about.
You have to know. So the movies are, the first one is Trainspotting, and the second one is American Pie.
Right.
So.
I cannot believe I never saw Trainspotting.
Good,
it was
huh?
Fabulous.
It's fabulous right from like the first second.
Yes. Yes. Extremely well written, extremely well acted, directed,
edited,
great editing. Never bored. Mm-mm. Never, you know, very 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I loved it from the very beginning.
And it's got like this sense of like propulsion, right? It's
right.
Like, it's not slow at all. It's just like it keeps moving. The soundtrack helps that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's like a little vignette and then another vignette and then another vignette. And you're kind of like, well, how much time has passed? Or does it even matter, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard to tell.
Uh-huh.
It was really hard to tell. Yeah, I still don't know. You know, was it a year? Was it, I don't know, a few months? I don't know. You don't care.
Right. And so when I first saw this, I was probably 15.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like going to like the theaters in Orlando. We had to like drive to another city to go see it because it wasn't showing in my small town. And I think just a couple months before, I had seen Pulp Fiction. And this was kind of like billed as like, oh, it's going to be this year's Pulp Fiction, like that kind of thing. And so we're like, oh, yeah, like we're all like, you know,
yeah.
Sophomores in high school. We're like, yeah, we know about film. We know that this is going to be good. And I remember we went and saw it, and there's, of course, subtitles, because you need them. And, I think we walked out of there like, whoa. Like, didn't know you could do that in a movie.
Right. There's so much stuff in this movie. And I did use subtitles when I watched it. But it wasn't as bad as I had heard. I think after a while you kind of, you know, with these kind of movies, you kind of get a, oh, okay.
It's like Clockwork Orange, right?
Right,
you kind of,
right.
Like, understand, like, oh, I know what DOS means. I don't know exactly what it means, but I know you don't want to be it.
Right,
you
right.
know, like, things like that.
Yeah, it was nice to see some of the words in print that they were saying, because I had no idea. They were just either swear words or just, you know, name-calling or...
Yeah, a lot of it, they're swearing, like, but it sounds like a different... I guess it is a different language, but, like, if you hear someone swearing in Portuguese, you don't know what they're saying, but you know they're swearing.
Right? Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
My subtitles were so funny because they would say, oh, this bird. And then my subtitles would say girl. They wouldn't even use the same word. They were like helping you out, you know?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't think I noticed that in mine. Yeah.
You're advanced.
They did it, just the way it was, just the way it was said. So,
yeah. So, Matt, when were you in?
like you say, very beginning, there's a lot of narration by Ewan McGregor in this, and it's from the very beginning, and it's so well written, that whole speech he gives at the beginning and the end.
Yep.
You know, they're just completely opposite speeches, and yeah, just from the very beginning. And it started, it felt like I was just jumped in a fast car right away.
Well, they're complete opposite speeches, but like they're, the last one is like kind of
sarcastic.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're kind of the same speech, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just from that, the Iggy Pop song, Lust for Life, the opening shot, they're running.
Yes.
You don't know why they're running, and you kind of get a sense that.
You kind of take a look at them and go, oh, okay.
Yeah, they're running. But I think this is maybe my favorite use of narration voiceover ever. I was trying to think of like what other movie did it well. Shawshank does it well.
Yeah.
But this one is just, it's funny and it's like sarcastic and it's dark, but it always has that same tone of like kind of winking, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, and I forgot about how like, I don't know if it's innovative because I'm not like a super, you know, film buff guy, but like the way that things were cut, there's lots of humor, like when he walks into that toilet and like it's like the like the words flash up on the screen, like the worst toilet in Scotland, stuff like that, right? I mean, it doesn't really, I don't remember seeing that before.
Yeah, I think whoever did the set designs in this movie deserved an award. You know, that whole toilet, the skanky apartments they were shooting up in and stuff like that. It was just perfect.
I think that was like an old, I was doing a little bit of reading about the movie this morning. I think it was like an old pencil factory or something.
Oh, really?
And they were like, we don't have to do much to it. Yeah. Like the set designers were saying that they were kind of lucky because the places they found were like, oh, let's just use this.
Don't do any, no paint, no nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were off. I mean, one thing this movie does not do is glamorize heroin addiction.
Now, see, as a 15-year-old, I was like, wow, these guys are cool.
Yeah.
As a 40-year-old, I was like, ugh. Ick.
They're just a bunch of criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, criminal. I mean, just like hopeless criminals, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I think it handles addiction really well, you know, because they're like, I'm done with it. And it's like, well, I guess one more.
I think it ties into the hopelessness of you know, the UK at the time, or Scotland. You know, just nobody had any jobs, and you know, it's just they weren't that different from a lot of other people who you know, just living day to day.
Well, all their parents seem to understand, you know, like
yeah.
I mean, all the parents in the film were like, seemed pretty kind and like
for what their kids put them through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like lenient to a fall, you know.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, I mean, they're at the bar drinking and smoking with them, you know.
Right.
Like after the trial,
after he gets out of rehab or something, you know. After he said, "Oh yeah, have a drink," you know.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know that you want to give a heroin addict a couple of beers.
Yeah.
But so we'll go through it real quick. You can stop me. There's lots of things that stand out to me. But the first we... So this movie and the next movie start kind of the same. First we meet the guys or the blokes or the lads, I guess, is what they would say, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we meet the lads.
Mates.
The mates. We meet the mates.
Yep.
And so, you know, like every guy kind of fits a type, right? We got our hero, Renton, who's just like your average guy, your everyman.
Yeah.
A bit of a poet philosopher.
Probably the smartest of the group.
All right, and then we got Sick Boy.
Sick Boy, yep.
He's the best dressed of the group.
And very knowledgeable about movies.
Yeah, especially...
About James Bond movies.
Right, right. Lots of James Bond theories being thrown around.
Right.
I would say many questionable.
Yeah.
But he's the kind of guy that we all know who just like talks with such confidence, you can just never challenge him. Like, yeah, whatever. We got Spud, the lovable loser.
Yep, he just kind of followed everything. He's, yeah.
And then we have Tommy, who inexplicably is hanging out with these guys, although he's not a heroin addict.
Right.
Or heroin user.
Yeah.
And then we got Begbie.
Yeah, the psycho.
Who's that friend you have that you're like, why? Every time he leaves the room, you're like, why are we friends with this guy? He bullies us, you know?
He's such an asshole.
Yeah. So as I was thinking, I was like, oh, yeah, that guy reminds me of so-and-so. That guy reminds me of so-and-so. So I could, like, go through, like, my high school, like, Rolodex. Like, oh, yeah, I know all these people.
Yeah.
So we meet them. Common theme throughout the movie, Ren is trying to quit. Trying to quit the shite.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the, you know, the scene with the opium suppositories that we alluded to earlier.
The worst toilet in Scotland, which is, if you've never seen that scene, you just got to watch this movie just for that scene. I about threw up.
It's pretty bad.
It is.
And then this scene that kind of was very different than the rest, they go to this park. And they're just, like, hanging out, and they shoot this guy's dog just to see the dog bite him.
Yeah, it with a BB gun. And,
right,
yeah,
with a BB gun.
The dog in the butt.
First of all, it was, like, definitely the brightest scene of the whole film, right?
Yeah, right.
This was just, like, to show us their life out of heroin. Like, this is what they would be doing anyway, so they're not... It's not like they would be bankers if they were off heroin. They're just bums.
Yeah, I thought that scene really... I don't know if it belonged in the movie, because it just felt like... Well, they're laying out there in this park with a gun, and it just felt kind of weird, you know. But yeah, that's who they were.
Squid's.
Oh, they were hungover too.
Of course. Yeah. Spud's job interview.
Oh yeah. He has to go to a job interview to keep getting his.
To stay on the dole.
Stay on the dole, and he just totally. He's pretty good at screwing up a job interview.
Well, he gets the advice, like, you got to try, but you can't try too hard because you might get it.
Right.
You don't want that.
And he's such a little weasel anyway.
And, of course, it doesn't help that he does speed right before.
Right.
No, I went to Craig Newton. I just put it down to Royal Edinburgh College to help get the job. There's too much discrimination in this town, man, because they're both schools, right? And we're all in this together. And I wanted to put across the general idea rather than the details. Like, people get all hung up on details. Like, which school did I go to? How many O-grades did I get? Could be, like, six. Could be none. It's not important. What is important is that I am, yes?
Then we meet Begbie. We learn all about him. He's got that great scene where he just throws a beer glass behind him just because he wants to fight someone. This girl gets the glass right in her eye, blood everywhere. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, he wreaked a little havoc in this movie.
Yes. We get the boys go to a club, then we get like their sexy time. We kind of see how everyone handles that to varying degrees of success.
Begbie doesn't do well.
Right. No, that was later.
Oh, that was later. Yeah.
And then the morning's after, where everyone's waking up and Renton realizes he was with a, like,
14-year-old?
Yeah, it's a very young girl. Tommy's girlfriend's mad because they can't find their homemade pornography tape that Renton stole. Spud pooped his pants, or pooped the bed.
Yeah.
So
that scene in the kitchen, he wants to wash the sheet, and, you know, his girlfriend's mother said, no, I'll do it, and they're arguing back, and all of a sudden shit goes flying all over the place. Oh, what a gross scene.
And the boys are back on heroin, of course. Didn't take very long. Mm-hmm. They came to a democratic decision, right?
And they hang out with this couple, or this guy, the mother superior, they call him, because his habit's so long, and a woman who with a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't think she's... For a while there, I thought she was with mother superior, but then I realized later she wasn't. She was just...
Well, I think we found out whose baby it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we knew who she was with.
Yeah, we never knew who she was with.
Because that's what Ewan McGregor's character, Renton, that's what he says. He says, I don't know... He's like, I know it's not mine, but I don't know whose it could be.
Right. And then he found out.
Right. With that terrible scene where they wake up, and he's like, yeah, she's screaming. I don't know if she's been screaming for hours or days.
Yeah. That's, yeah, the old heroin knocked him out.
Yeah, and the baby's dead. And so, you know, and his sick boy's, you know, distraught because obviously it's his baby, or he thinks it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, he looks at Ren and he's like, say something. He's like, oh, I'm cooking up. Then the girl's like, I'll take a hit too. It's like, oh, man.
But Ren says, I got mine first.
Right. He's like, I can tell she needed a hit, but not until I get mine. Like, that's understood. Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Spud goes to prison. rents free, that he goes, he's clean
yep.
for a bit. He's on methadone, which obviously is not very effective.
Right.
He decides to go back to Mother Superior because, you know, what else is he going to do? And I think we learned from The Wire that if you're clean and then you go back, you're going to overdose.
Right.
Because your body's not used to it. So that's what happens. He ODs. Mm-hmm. yeah. Mother Superior calls him a taxi.
That's nice of
him. Here's a taxi to
drags
the emergency room.
Outside, hitting his head on the stairs.
Yeah. And then we get one of the most terrifying scenes of the movie where Renton is going through withdrawals. Right? Mm-hmm. His parents put him in his childhood room and just locked the door.
Locked the front. They locked the door from the outside. Mm-hmm. He can't get out. And he just goes through the DTs, getting off whatever. I guess that's more alcohol, but yeah, he's having hallucinations and all sorts of stuff. And I guess it's pretty rough. I don't know.
I guess so. And the creepiest part to me, especially as a kid, was just the baby on the roof.
Yeah.
There's this baby.
On the ceiling, yeah. He's crawling on the ceiling.
It's just upside down and crawling, which should not be terrifying, mm-mm. but it was. Yeah. And then when his head turns all the way around, oh. And then I didn't notice this the first time I watched it, especially as a kid, that like all, so a lot of his hallucination is he's seeing his parents on like a quiz show that they always watch. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And all the questions are about like HIV AIDS. And AIDS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't catch that as a kid. I didn't really follow that. Because they don't come out and say it directly.
Right.
They just kind of like understood. And I didn't catch that as a teenager.
Yeah, it was kind of, and the questions weren't that easy. And they answered them. Very well. So that was a very weird scene.
Mm-hmm. But then he gets tested. You know, he's got to take the test. Mm-hmm. He's clear.
Yep.
Tommy is not. Right? That was
right.
The implication.
Tommy starts using heroin when his girlfriend breaks up with him, and he quickly goes downhill. Very, very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just couldn't handle it.
Right. Too kind of a soul.
Right.
And then, so Ren is like, I'm out of here. So he's out. I'm out of here. He becomes a realtor in London.
It's his 14-year-old girlfriend who tells him he needs to change. He needs the world is changing.
Music's changing. The world's changing. Yeah.
You need to get out of here.
So he does, and becomes a realtor in London, which seems like perfect job, right? He can still be a slimy scumbag, but at least he's on the up and up. And so I guess London is like the New York City of the UK. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Like, gotta go to the big city, son, something like that.
Yep.
So he's a lawyer, doing well. Seems to be staying clean. He's got his one-room flat.
Yep.
Got a TV.
Saving money.
A little bit.
And then, Begbie shows up.
Right.
Hiding out on the lam for an armed robbery that he used a fake gun on.
Yeah, and there's a like, one theme throughout this movie is that basically, like, you can't quit your friends, you know, like you're also kind of just like you're trapped in heroin. You're kind of trapped with them. Like it'll find you. You'll find them. Like keep going back. And there's this, you know, great scene where he's clean early on in the movie and he goes out to meet Sick Boy. And says something like, I hate this guy, but what are you going to do? He's my mate.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And so Begbie shows up. He's Begbie.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go anywhere. Just all he does is smoke and drink and sitting on the bed all day.
Yeah, and order him around.
Can you imagine how much that place was a stunk?
Oh.
Can't imagine.
Just about every place they were in.
That's true.
Probably stunk.
Sick Boy shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're all sleeping in the same bed, like Charlie's family and Willy Wonka. They're kind of like toe to head.
Eating fish and chips.
They have to go back to that. They get found out. He gets sick of them, puts them up in the place he's renting out. Tommy dies from...
stroke or AIDS?
Yeah, but from cat poop.
Oh, yeah, cat poop.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's so weak, there's just cat pooping in his apartment that his kidney bought for his girlfriend in this place. So.
And they find him days later after he's dead. And the kitty's okay.
Kid's okay. How's the kitten okay?
I don't know.
I thought the cat was going to be eating him. We didn't get there yet.
Yeah.
Let's see. They got one last heroin deal. What could go wrong? The deal goes off fine, except they're not very good negotiators.
Thinking, okay, this is a whole total setup. But it went off okay.
Right.
It's like, oh, that was easy.
Right. I liked how the how the drug, how the guy who was buying it had his own junkie with him to like test it out, just like they tested it on Ewan McGregor's character.
Yeah. That's right.
Like every good dealer needs a junkie.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor had been clean for a long time. His character had been clean for a while, and he's the one that tested it.
Right, because Begbie doesn't do heroin, can't trust Spud. I forget what the reason Sick Boy couldn't do it.
I didn't trust him.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
So then they end up at a bar. They're kind of celebrating, but they're also kind of like making jokes. Sizing like, each other up. Like, I'm gonna go take a piss. Don't run off with the money. Ha ha! I just might, and then I would kill you. It's like, oh, okay. Then Begbie's all keyed up, gets into a bar fight. He cuts a guy's throat. Like he killed a guy, right?
I cut his throat. He didn't kill him. I don't think he just.
I don't know, man. That guy's on the ground bleeding a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone else was just kind of frozen.
Then he cuts Spud.
Right, accidentally.
Yeah.
And as they're all sleeping, runs off with cash, hides a little bit for Spud later.
Yeah, he said, I didn't care about, you know, was Bigbie or Begbie or whatever. He says, but in Sick Boy would have done it to me if he'd thought of it.
Right.
So he steals the money and he's gone.
And it's not that much money.
16 grand? 16,000
pounds? So was that like 30 grand, something like that at the time, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably more than what they would make in a year.
It's a start.
It's a start.
Yeah.
So,
that's about it. Yeah.
That's about it.
And then they have the final narration, which is...
I'm cleaning up and I'm moving on, going straight and choosing life. I'm looking forward to it already. I'm going to be just like you. The job, the family, the fucking big television, the washing machine, the car, the compact disc and electrical tin opener, good health, low cholesterol, dental insurance, mortgage, starter home, leisure wear, luggage, three-piece suite, DIY, game shorts, junk food, children, walks in the park, 9 to 5, good at golf, washing the car, choice of sweaters, family Christmas, index pension, tax exemption, clearing the gutters, getting by, looking ahead, the day you die.
So, Matt, who's, do you have a, oh, it's that guy?
Well, a couple of them.
Because a lot of these guys, a lot of the five guys, they had like pretty active careers, especially in television.
But Johnny Lee Miller was Sherlock Holmes in the American version.
Elementary.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which I'd never seen that, but I'm
just... It was good. Gloria and I watched, I think we watched it all. Lisa Liu or whatever her name is.
Lucy Liu, isn't it?
Yeah, she plays Dr. Watson.
Okay.
She's his therapist.
Lucy Liu, attractive or non-attractive?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
She's like cilantro. It's like you either think she's really pretty or like you think she's like very unattractive.
She was attractive until she got her head cut off and killed Bill.
No, I mean, it's not real, Matt.
Robert Carlyle, who played Begbie, Full Monty.
I know.
Always seems
that.
To play the same character.
Oh, really?
Just a loud mouth, just screaming at everybody.
Well, he was one of them that I guess was pretty accomplished before this movie,
yes.
So they weren't sure that they were kind of surprised that he was willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looked at his IMDb. Yeah, he had a lot before this movie. Mm-hmm. Kelly MacDonald, this was her first movie.
Mm-hmm.
She played the high school girl.
They put up posters and like... dance clubs and stuff to like get people. They wanted someone completely unknown, and they said like as soon as she sat down on the couch, they're like, "You're the one."
Yep. She was in No Country for Old Men. She played what's his name, Brolin, Josh Brolin's wife in that. So that's about it, I think.
Oh, you missed the
big one,
the biggest dude, Kevin McKidd, Tommy. He's been on Grey's Anatomy for 13 years.
I haven't watched Grey's Anatomy.
Well, look, me neither. But, like, that dude's cashing checks.
Is he?
He's been on 300 episodes of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
I
think he was the only one I didn't look up because I didn't recognize him.
Oh, no, he's killing it.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Ewan McGregor. This was probably his second big movie. And his second one was also one with the same director.
Yeah.
We didn't mention his name. It's
Danny Boyle, who I wanted to mention him. He's famous for 127 Hours, 28 Days Later, Slumdog Millionaire, which he won Best Director for.
Another good toilet scene.
Shallow Grave, which I've never seen. I don't know what that is.
That was kind of his first one that got him recognition,
mm-hmm.
and that's why he was able to make this one.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he's good. Very accomplished.
He is good. And then obviously Ewan McGregor was in this. And that was one of his early roles.
We just watched him in Halston.
Ewan McGregor. As Halston?
Yeah.
How was he?
Good.
Yeah. A lot of interesting choices for that dude. And this movie nominated for one Academy Award in, you know, best screenplay based on
a prior.
Yeah. But let's see how do they frame it. Best writing, screenplay based on material previously produced or published.
Mm-hmm. They didn't win, though, did they?
No. They lost to...
Come on.
Can you guess 1997? I'll give you the movies.
Maybe one of the war movies? Private Ryan?
No. So these are your options.
Okay.
Hamlet, The Crucible, The English Patient, Sling Blade, Trainspotting.
I hope it's not The English Patient.
It's not.
It's Sling Blade.
Sling Blade, yeah.
The Sling Blade.
It's just Millie Bob Thornton. I like them taters. Yeah, so I can't leave that one.
No.
I mean, God, what a crime.
Compared to this, no. I mean, Sling Blade's okay, but...
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's not like revolutionary. It's not going to blow your mind like Trainspotting.
Better than The English Patient, which I hated.
I never had to suffer through it. Mm. I was single in 97, so yeah. I wasn't dragged to that one. Any lines that stuck out to you?
Not pretty much the whole thing.
Right.
No. I just whizzed right through. I mean, how about you?
Probably my favorite line was when he becomes a realtor. He's kind of like talking about his life, and he's just like shrugging. He's like, you know, it's also the narration. He's like, there's no such thing as society. If there was, I most certainly had nothing to do with it. I thought that kind of summed up his worldview very nicely. Any comments on the direction?
No, I mean, there was a couple scenes I wanted to... Okay. We've already talked about.
Oh, yeah, let's go back.
Where did I have? The toilet scene, of course, which is the worst bathroom in Scotland. The other one I liked was when he overdosed.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. And then later, when it gets dark, we go home.
And the music, A Perfect Day, was not that. I love that scene. That was great.
Well, the soundtrack to this movie.
The soundtrack is really good.
Yeah. Like, this is one of those movies, just like Pulp Fiction, where, like, as a teenager, you watch the movie. You get the soundtrack, or someone you know has a soundtrack, so it's just kind of like always around you. And there's so many songs in this. When I was 15, I never even heard of bands I never even heard of.
Right.
You know, and even now when I was watching, I was like, oh yeah, who is that? I gotta look that up. Like, there's a good use of like a pulp song.
Yeah.
On this, I was like, oh yeah, I gotta check. I gotta illegally download those albums. There's a lot of like funny details in this, like when there's like the scene of like Renton like stealing from his parents and. His parents just watch, like, you know, blank stared watching this TV show, and then his dad says, I knew he was going to do that. It's like such a perfect, like, of course that's what this buffoon would say, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
He didn't really know that, but he has to say something.
Yeah.
But yeah. And yeah, like I mentioned, I think it's the best use of narration in a film.
Mm-hmm.
But they shot it in like 35 days.
Wow.
And I probably took a year to edit, you know, just to like put it all together. But I'd say modern masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so modern anymore. It's 25 years old.
No, I don't think. Yeah, I think it's. I mean, it fits right in there with so many great movies there in the 90s. And, you know, just it is a masterpiece. I think minor one anyway. Yeah.
And I would say it's like strangely predictive of like the drug plight that you know. Because when I was 15, I was watching it. 5 years later, probably two of the people I was watching it with were addicted to opioids. You know,
yeah.
Just like, oh, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, it gives you a glimpse of the future.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Anything else you want to mention before we guess the scores here? All right, Matt, what do you think for the IMDb score?
I think at least an 8.
Mm-hmm. It's actually 8.1.
Okay, that's good.
So
one of the higher ones that we've had.
Yeah, in the IMDb rankings category, it is 169 of all time.
Hmm.
Which,
probably should be higher, but
I don't know. I mean, of all time, I don't know. I think we start thinking through, like, okay, what's it better or worse than? Yeah. But I don't know. It's good. So it's right between My Father and Son, which I've never even heard of.
Don't know what that is.
And The Bridge on the River Kwai.
Oh, Alec Guinness, William Holden. Yep.
Yeah, you got some good company. What do you think about the score on Rotten Tomatoes?
I got to go 99.
This is for the critics.
Yeah.
See, on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics' consensus is, whoa, 91.
What?
Yeah, wow.
Wow. I mean, it's a great score, but it's way too low.
Really? I wonder what Ebert thought about this. Was he alive then? He must have seen it.
Yes, he was alive. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't look his... I usually look his up and read him, but...
Yeah, I'm just curious what's... people were not digging about it. So, see, I feel like it did exactly what it wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was tight. There was never a dull moment. Okay, here's a couple of negative ones. This is from People Magazine. all this doped up nothingness eventually proves wearing. Junkies given to nodding out, living in squalor, don't make good company for too long. Well, we clearly have different preferences here. You know, Leah Rosen. I mean, that's exactly what I wanted. I mean, what did she want? Like a happy ending?
Ebert gave it 3 stars. Three out of four. He says, those who have ventured into the darker corners of addiction know that one of the few consolations, once the fun is worn off, is the camaraderie with fellow practitioners.
Okay, so is that Ebert being sneakily pro-heroin?
yeah.
All right, what do you think about the audience?
I'll go 85.
93.
93.
The people like it more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, this is the critics' consensus. A brutal, oftentimes funny, other times terrifying portrayal of drug addiction in Edinburgh. Not for the faint of heart, but well worth viewing as a realistic and entertaining reminder of the horrors of drug use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say realistic and entertaining. Matt, any other comments about Trainspotting?
Nope, but... I'm glad you gave it. I finally got to see it, and it was wonderful. It was really good. I'm gonna have to see it again.
Yeah,
you know, after a couple months or so.
I think I'm gonna have to check out the soundtrack because I just hear some of the songs, but like being aware of them, you just listen to the full thing.
Now, have you ever seen the Trainspotting 2? Isn't there one of those?
Never saw that. Oh, the title Trainspotting.
Yeah,
I never knew
what is
I
that.
Okay, so it's kind of a play on words.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there was this old habit that, or old like hobby, for like, I guess people with nothing to do, maybe mostly the elderly in like the UK, they go out and like watch trains and like write down like the numbers on them or something. Mm-hmm. Like literally, they're like spotting trains. Then that became like kind of slang for like. People who live their life kind of focused on like unimportant, trivial things, like kind of like
television.
Know, yeah, television, right? Mm-hmm. Or drug use, mm-hmm. or soccer, or you know, all the things that these characters are focused on, right?
Yep, right. Nothing important.
Right. And then, so it's kind of a slang. And then also, the writer, Irvine Welsh, he, I guess, like where he grew up, there was like that, like the junkies would go shoot up in the train yard. And they would call that train spotting. Okay. So it has like all these kind of like layers of meaning.
Okay.
But no, I never saw the sequel. I don't even know when it came out. But I don't know. It just wasn't really something that I thought needed to be revisited.
Right.
But I saw that a lot of the same people were in it.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up.
And I'm wondering if it was a book by Welsh. Because Welsh did not want to be part of the screenplay.
Mm.
Because he wanted to kind of move on to other things.
Yep.
But... I'm sure this was his, you know, best-selling book of all time. So maybe he, when the money ran out, he decided, hey, Trainspotting 2.
Yeah, he actually got credit for writing credit with a guy named John Hodge.
That's who did the original.
After 20 years abroad, Mark Renton returns to Scotland and reunites with his old friends, Sick Boy, Spud, and Begbie.
Oh, they're all friends now? Yeah. After you robbed them?
Of course they are.
Okay, that's... Yeah, I don't think. See, even that doesn't make me want to watch it. I'm kind of curious. I want someone else to watch it and give me the 2-minute breakdown of what it's about.
When I saw that, I went, "Oh, why would they do that?"
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems out of character that they would allow him to come back and embrace him, especially Begbie.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. So you want to take a break, and we'll come back and talk about Merrick Pie.
Okay. In heaven, I get wind. I hope. Just like a feeling inside. It's no joke. I know it hurts me to treat you this way.
Back to talk about a less dark but equally important film from the 90s, I would argue. Of course,
go ahead and talking argue about, with yourself.
Of course, I'm talking about American Pie, a fantastic film with several spin-offs, including American Pie 2, mm-hmm. American Wedding, American Reunion, American Pie Presents Bandcamp, American Pie Presents The Naked Mile, American Pie Presents Beta House, American Pie Presents The Book of Love, American Pie Presents Girls Rules. Girls Rules.
I had no idea.
It's a phenomenon, Matt. You can't argue with the people. But I had you watch the best of the series.
Okay. The original is usually the best.
The original is the best. And again, this is a movie I watched. This movie came out in 99, so I guess I was probably 18 when it came out. And, you know, just 1 year removed from high school.
Yep.
Very similar feelings to these dudes in the film. I knew a Stifler.
Did you?
I knew an Oz. Oh, yeah. Yeah, his name's Jeff Carr. I knew an Oz. I knew a Shipbrick.
Yeah.
Shout out to John Hayward. So very familiar territory for me. It's like seeing my life on the silver screen.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I didn't get it at all. I mean, I was 45 or 44 when this came out, so there was no way I was going to see it. But I didn't relate to it. I don't know these people.
If you wouldn't watch this as a 45-year-old in 1999, they probably would have called the police.
Yeah.
You couldn't relate to the people?
No, because my friends and I didn't talk like this. We weren't obsessed with sex and stuff like that.
What are you guys talking about? Baseball and like whole milk and.
No. I don't know. I just don't remember having any conversations like that. We were very quiet about our lack of sex.
Oh, we were vocal. Yeah, we were. Yeah, it was.
Nobody wanted to mention it. Nobody was getting any.
Yeah. It was a constant, constant struggle.
Yeah. I don't know. I just didn't get it at all.
Wait a minute. So when were you 18? You were 18
in 1973.
I thought that was like liberated. You know, I imagine like all the girls have to wear roller skates, like knee-high socks. Like dudes are all pumping iron, and you know everyone looks great because you're not eating garbage food yet. You know, is that not?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking high school because I think these guys are more of high school kids.
Well, it was high school.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But
so too raunchy for you?
No. I don't think so. I just didn't do anything for me. Gloria and I watched it together.
Did she like it?
She thought it was okay. You know, she laughed a couple of times. I think I laughed maybe once or twice. Mm-hmm. You know. The most famous scene, you know, with the pie, I think he stole that from, Philip Roth's, he had a book where one of his main characters was fucking,
Portnoy's Complaint,
yeah.
The only Philip Roth book that I've read. I guess I haven't read the whole thing, because I never got to that scene.
Okay, yeah.
Terrible movie, by the way.
Oh, lousy. Horrible. None of his movies were any good.
I think I read like half the movie. I've read half the book. I'm like, oh, just let me check out this movie. I never knew it was a movie. And watching the movie made me not want to finish the book.
Right.
which is very rare.
I think that was Richard Benjamin was the director who also did Love at First Bite.
We're getting off track. Okay. We got to talk about American Pie, right?
Okay, all right.
We're going to have a 15-20 minute conversation about American Pie.
Okay.
At least.
All right.
So you know who disagrees with you about it not being a good movie?
Who?
The box office.
Oh, of course.
Budget, $11 million. Opening weekend, $18.7 million. Worldwide gross, $235
million. A lot of 18-year-olds going to the movies. I mean, listen, if I was 18 when this movie came out, I would have gone to see it. I would have liked it. But not as a 65-year-old man.
Right.
It's just not.
No, listen, I didn't think that you would like it, but I was like, oh, this is my chance to make you watch it.
Especially after watching Trainspotting. I went, oh, my God.
You just wait for Stifler to pull out the needle?
Right.
Okay, so I'll go through it, and you can stop me if there any of these are some bright spots. So I think there's at least one bright spot here for you,
yeah.
I think. So just like Trainspotting, we meet the gang. We got our hero, Jason Biggs, who's kind of the everyman.
Right.
Right? He's the Renton of the group, right, minus the heroin. We got Kevin, who's like a nothing, right? He's just a...
He's a zero.
Yeah. So as the... You'll never watch the sequels, but as it goes on, there's even less of a reason for him to be there, right? He's just there to be like the guy who's... has the most likelihood to have sex, and, you know, his girlfriend's going to a different college and that whole thing, but...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, his character did nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of nothing, we have Oz.
Oz, Chris Klein, who plays the same character in every movie.
Chris Klein, C minus Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
D plus?
C.
Okay, maybe
D
C.
Plus,
okay.
Maybe C.
Maybe a C? Okay, maybe C.
Maybe
C, okay.
C. Yeah.
I can't think of anything else that he's been in. He was in Election.
Election. Oh, he was in We Were Soldiers, which I don't remember him. I know he was a soldier, I imagine.
Right. I mean, he looks like an athlete.
Right.
You know, he's built well.
It's a good-looking guy.
Comes across as a very nice person. Just don't care what happens to him.
Yeah, I just didn't get... his first movie was Election. So, he's...
He's a zero.
Yeah. He's another zero.
All right. Then we get... Finch, a.k.a. Shipbrick, mm-hmm, who's one of the more interesting characters.
Right.
At least he has, like, a quirk, right?
Yeah.
He's older than his age, right? He's an old soul.
Yeah. 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 Finch, I liked his character, of all of them, even more than the leading guy.
Jason Biggs, yeah. I mean, again, he's goofy to a fault.
Yeah.
And then we have Stifler, who... He's like, the same... He's like a joke that... You hear it, you're like, you kind of get sick of it, then you keep hearing it, and you kind of laugh again.
Yeah,
That's kind of how I feel about him.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't do much for me.
Kind of plays the same
character. I like his brother, though.
His little brother?
His little brother.
Well, Stifler kind of, or Sean William Scott kind of plays the same actor in every movie, but he has such, like, his face looks like that character.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of stuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those are the main guys. And then there's some pretty famous women in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Tara Reid.
Mm-hmm.
I think the funniest thing about this movie is Tara Reid going to Cornell.
Yes.
It's like, whoa. I was rewatching, wow, that's really funny. Knowing everything new about Tara Reid,
mm-hmm,
she kind of hit a wall. Natasha Lyonne,
mm-hmm,
one of her early roles.
Yep. She's good.
Also plays the same character in everything she's always in.
Right.
Which makes me think that she's just playing herself. Shannon Elizabeth.
Yep.
An early nude scene, which kind of, again, as an 18-year-old watching it, very excited to see that.
You had to have the one nude scene.
You did.
Yeah.
Of course.
And Allison Hannigan,
mm-hmm,
from How I Met Your Mother, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, she was interesting because she did these movies. Then she did How I Met Your Mother, and then...
Nothing. Oh, wow.
I think she's just done, right? I don't know.
Maybe
she's in stuff.
And Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom.
Mm-hmm.
She's not in it very much, though.
No,
but she got second billing.
Did she?
I saw at the end. I'm going, wait a minute. She was in it like 5 minutes.
An important 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was.
And, I mean, she is the origin of the term MILF.
MILF, yeah.
Right? I mean, I think so.
I think that was the very beginning.
I mean, that's like a whole, you know, go to any adult website and that's, mm-hmm, a whole category now.
Yep.
So... pivotal. It's going to be like the second line of her obituary.
Yep. And we don't want to forget Eugene Levy.
Which I would thought was maybe your one bright spot.
Right, right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
He was good, yeah.
You weren't laughing like the scenes with him and Biggs where he's trying to like...
Well, that was the best scenes when he was in it. Because I can relate to him, Eugene Levy. I love. Yeah, he's really a funny guy, you know. That were the best scenes between him and his son.
I thought they had good chemistry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, Jason Biggs kind of reminds you of Eugene Levy, you know. So you could see it, you know, 25, 30 years down the road, there's Eugene Levy, you know.
Well, like 20 years down the road, Jason Biggs was like in Orange is the New Black. Yeah. And he looks exactly the same.
Yeah, he doesn't look any different, does he?
It's funny, he's ageless. But, yeah, so going back to Eugene Levy, which mm-hmm. I thought was a... I didn't think this when I was 18, but watching it again, you know, I thought he was the best part of the film.
Sure.
Those scenes, them together.
Yes.
Like, I didn't realize how much Eugene Levy was just trying to make sure his son wasn't a sexual deviant. You know, just like all the things, all the clues he's getting. And he's like, he walks in with the pornography magazines. Like,
oh, I almost forgot. I bought some magazines. Do you want to just flip to the center section? Well, this is the female form, and they have focused on the breasts, which are used primarily to feed young infants, and also in foreplay.
Right.
This is Hustler, and this is a much more exotic magazine. Now, they have decided to focus more on the pubic region, the whole... groin area.
Uh-huh.
Look at the expression on her face. You see that? See what she's doing? She's kind of looking right into your eyes, saying, hey, big boy. Hey, how you doing? You see?
Right.
Shaved is a magazine I'm not too familiar with, but again, if you flip to the center section, well, you see the detail that they go into in this picture mm-hmm. here. It almost looks like a tropical plant or something underwater.
That was good. I think, yeah, that was. Those are the one scenes I was laughing mm-hmm. when he was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you take Trainspotting and the relationship between the five guys,
mm-hmm.
and you take this, it wasn't as good.
What, not as believable?
Right.
Because with American Pie, like, I'm like, why are all these guys hanging out with each other? They don't fit, you know?
They don't fit at all.
Like, I can understand, like, you do have some friends that you don't fit with, but you grew up with them.
Mm-hmm.
But high school is a time where you kind of break up with them, right?
Jettison those guys. Right. You know, like, I can't hang around with you anymore because you're a dick.
Right. Like, Jason Biggs and his friend Kevin made the most sense because they, like, lived next to each other,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's like, and like, so why are you friends with Stifler? Like,
well, yeah, why is Stifler friends with you?
Right. Also, I could never get like the level of popularity of these guys, right? They were popular enough to like go to all the cool parties or whatever, but also an object of ridicule. It was very unclear how they fit into high school society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was no placement for them, or it was an odd placement for them,
mm-hmm.
you know? So yeah, they weren't nerds. They weren't, you know, any of those things.
Right.
You couldn't put a label on all of them. Oh, they're all this. No, you couldn't.
Well, but in the 90s, they would definitely have a label.
Yes.
I think nowadays it would maybe make more sense, but no. 90s high school.
Oh, yeah.
Here's your clique, here's your clique, here's your clique, mm-hmm. and you'll never mix until maybe senior year.
Right.
So the guys make a pact to lose their virginity. They have, like, what, 3 weeks left or something?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's... I'm sure there's movies that were made like this in the 70s
I'm sure
and
there
80s.
Are.
Yeah, you know, it's all the same.
It's all...
The formula.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a formula. It's just, like I say, I'm 65, and it just didn't, you know, do mm-hmm. anything for me.
And the scene you mentioned where Nadia comes over, that was like the big scene.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the internet is used in a way that was pretty realistic at the time.
Yeah, way ahead of its time, I thought.
Yeah, like a... I don't know that the webcam would be that great. That I don't know that everyone in the school would have like a really good high speed connection that they'd be able to like watch it like in, you know, high definition like that.
Yeah,
but
not in 1999.
Not 99.
There's a lot of dial up going on.
Right. So now he comes over. Finch has this rumor about him that all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And he gets exposed. Oz chooses to join the Glee Club.
Right.
And, I mean...
Again.
Like, as soon as he joins the Glee Club, you're like, oh, he's going to have to choose between Glee Club and lacrosse, and he's going to choose Glee Club, and he's going to get the girl. Like, it's just... I know how this is going to end, exactly.
Oh, yeah. In Trainspotting, he wouldn't have gotten the girl.
No.
He would have got kicked out of bowl.
In Trainspotting, he would have been making out with her on the deck and crapped his pants, mm-hmm. or he would have died from, I don't know, some kind
of... Yeah, you just knew that he wasn't going
to... So he's fine. They go to prom. They all kind of get their way at the end, right? They all hook up.
Yeah.
We find secrets of band camp. That was kind of funny, right? That's unexpected.
Yep. The secrets of band... Yeah. I never heard of band camp before. I have, because of this movie,
mm-hmm.
you know. But yeah, well, that's what made her a kind of an interesting part of the whole thing. She was, you know, different.
Right. She had like that quirky delivery,
mm-hmm.
which
in band camp,
mm-hmm.
we did this. Yeah.
Right. And she played like a really similar character in How I Met Your Mother.
Right.
Not as like innocent and bubbly, but
there was no stretch there.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah, and then you know it ends and. Kind of there, no, high school's over kind of thing.
Yeah, no, we're all men now.
Right.
We're all men.
Except they didn't think Oz was because he lied about it.
All right.
Because he's the only really good person in the group.
And, of course, Finch ends up with Stifler's mom.
Again, mm-hmm. a little bit of a swerve, yep. right, in an otherwise predictable movie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was good. And Stifler gets to walk in on him, so he gets trauma. So I like that how Stifler's a dick the entire movie, but he keeps getting his comeuppance.
Right.
You know, like he drinks the beer with...
With the... Yeah.
Yeah. And
I won't mention it.
Yeah. And then, you know, all that stuff happens, so...
Yeah.
That was good. Matt, you have any standout quotes? I mean, the obvious one is our boy, John Cho, standing in front of a picture of Stilford's mom chanting MILF.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ooh! I took some MILF.
What the hell is that?
MILF. Mom, I'd like to fuck.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Guys.
And then the one time at band camp, obviously. I mean, those are the two that like we would quote to each other as like kids. Do you have an, oh, it's that guy?
Mina Savari?
Yeah.
Who did American Beauty?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know she was in this.
Yeah, so which
wasn't a very big part. But
was this before or after American Beauty? Had to be before, right? No, American
the
Beauty.
Same year, 1999, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, very different roles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask the same Lucy Liu question. Mina Savari, attractive or not?
I actually found in the movie American Beauty,
uh-huh.
who was the daughter? She was, to me, she was much more attractive.
Yeah, she was the girl in Ghost World.
Yes.
Thora Birch.
Yeah, Thora Birch.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I thought she was much more attractive.
I mean, Savari looks like someone I grew up with, so I kind of feel like she's not attractive.
She looks like half the women in Florida that, when they're 40...
Well, when I look at them, I'm just like,
a ragged face. And...
Well, I'm like, are your eyes too low or too high? I can't figure it out. Yeah, she...
American Pie and American Beauty came out the same year. American Pie was first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you're if you see American Pie, you become a Mina Savari fan, then you're very excited about American Beauty.
Yeah.
So I have two. First, the rock band Blink 182 is in this.
Okay.
They're the band that's watching the Shannon Elizabeth scene. So didn't realize that.
I didn't know that.
And then Kevin's older brother who he calls to get the book.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The book with all the sex tricks. It's Casey Affleck.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's like, what's
right.
he doing in this?
I said to Gloria, that's Casey Affleck. She goes, who? I said, you know, Manchester by the Sea. Huh?
Yeah. And he brings all that Manchester charm to this role.
Right,
he's
right.
Like, brother, what? Okay, yeah, there's a book. We have all the secrets. The only secret appears to be is like, use your tongue. Thanks for unlocking that, bro.
Right. And I tell you, I was stoned when I was watching this.
And still weren't laughing.
Still weren't laughing.
Which is weird, because, I mean, you liked Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Right.
So this
I don't know. I just felt it was funnier. Yeah.
Harold and Kumar had, like, more to say about, like, the world at large. Mm-hmm. This is really focused on a couple of guys trying to get laid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This one was more successful.
Yeah.
Tells you a little bit about the American psyche. Let's see what's next, Matt. I don't have the exact outline in front of us.
You did best lines, the shots, nothing, lingering questions.
This is not. Did you know? So I watched all the credits because I wanted to see like all the songs that were used because I was curious. Not as many good ones as I remembered. I think I was thinking more of American Pie 2. Mm-hmm. American Pie, that phrase, is a registered trademark of Don McLean.
I don't blame him.
What? How do you register? Like, it's like if I register like a hot dog.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's crazy. That blew my mind. So.
Somebody have to use that term before Don McLean.
You would think so, but he is cashing them checks, man. Go get yours, Don McLean. You wrote one of the greatest songs of all time.
Right.
All right, Matt, you want to guess the scores? You want to be disappointed in the world?
I'm going to say I still think he's probably got a 7-3.
Just a 7.
Okay.
7. 383,000 people checking in.
That's a lot of people checking in.
A lot of people, so I don't see that average fluctuating much, so. Mm-mm. But I'd say that's pretty high for this kind of movie, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of up-and-comers in it. There are a lot of famous scenes. It's pretty quotable.
Yep. I say, it's that perfect movie for the people who were that age in 1999. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see that. I can see him lining up at the local mall to see it.
I did line up at the local mall. I probably used my Twizzler as a straw and my Dr. Pepper. All right, here's where we come back to Earth. What do you think about the critics on Rotten Tomato?
I will say 6.5.
61.
Oh, really?
The tomato meter. They're not loving it. Not loving it. Which is a shame because it is what it is. This is from The Hollywood Reporter. American Pie has a likable cast, but the actors appear throttled back by a pedestrian script and direction. Consequently, one winds up liking the film more than it deserves because of the gameness of its attractive cast.
Hmm. Ebert gave it 3 stars.
So this is the flaw with like Ebert's rating system. Ebert looks at American Pie and Trainspotting and goes, about the same.
His opening paragraph is, American Pie is a comedy about 4 high school senior boys who make a pact to lose their virginity before the end of the school year. This alone makes it almost touchingly old-fashioned. I did not know Hollywood still permitted high school seniors to be virgins.
Also, there are some good points for heroin.
Yeah.
See my previous review. Okay, so, and then what do you think about the audience?
Yeah, the audience is going to be 8.
61.
61, also. So it's not that popular.
I wonder if this is like, you know, people older going back, like, what's all this fuss about American Pie? Or, I love that song. They made a movie about the song. Okay, so this is the critics' consensus. So embarrassing, it's believable. American Pie succeeds in bringing back the teen movie genre.
Well, like you said, it's an important, you know, you said it was an important piece of film for that age. You know?
It was, and it did bring back the teen film genre. I mean, it did kind of, there was a bunch of films like this that kind of exploded afterwards. All right, Matt, so we're done with all this. So we've got to get some more grime in our lives.
We need more grime, I think.
I mean, it hasn't been a proper killing on screen in weeks.
So, we're going to come up with a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have you watch City of God, a Brazilian film.
And I'm going to have you watch the Italian film Gomorrah.
Okay.
All right, so we'll do that next week.
Yep.
All right. Peace.
He's a Philistine.
What's a Philistine?
It's a guy who doesn't care about books or interesting films and things.
Then I'm a Philistine.
No, you're interested in books and things.
No, I'm a Philistine.
You've been shitting in my yard.
I have not.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
So, Jane, what'd you do here in effect to count boners?
Thank you.
kitchen. You in the kitchen.
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this
anymore. It's fun.